ಸಹಸ್ರನಂದನ ಬ್ರಜ ಜನರಂಜನ ಸಮೂನ ತೀರಾದಾನೆ ಚಾರಿ ಕಾಮುನ ತೀರಾದಾನೆ ಚಾರಿ ರಾಧಾ ಮಾಧವ ಕುಂಜ ವಿಹಾರಿ ಜಯ ರಾಧಾ ಮಾಧವ ಕುಂಜ ವಿಹಾರಿ ಗೋಪೀ ಜನವಲ್ಲಭ ಗಿರಿಪರದಾರಿ ಗೋಪೀ ಜನವಲ್ಲಭ ಗಿರಿಪರದಾರಿ ಶೋಧನಂದನ ಬ್ರಜ ಜನರಂಜನ ದಾಸುರನಂದನ ಬ್ರಜ ಜನರಂಜನ ಯಮುನಾ ತೀರಾವನ ಚಾರಿ ಯಮುನಾ ತೀರಾದಾನ ಚಾರಿ ರಾಧಾ ಮಾಧವ ಕುಂಜ ವಿಹಾರಿ ಜಯ ರಾಧಾ ಮಾಧವ ಕುಂಜ ವಿಹಾರಿ ಜಯ ಓಂ ವಿಶ್ವಭಾತ್ ಪರಮಹಂಸ ಪರಿವ್ರತಮದ್ ಅಬಾಯ ಶರಣ ಭಕ್ತಿ ವಿರಾಂತ ಸ್ವಾಮಿ ಶ್ರೀಪೌಪಾರಿಕಿ ಜಯ ಇಸ್ಕಾನ್ ಪಾಂಡವಾಚಾರ್ಯ ಶ್ರೀಪೌಪಾರಿಕಿ ಜಯ ಕೋಟಿ ವೈಷ್ಣವಿಂದ ಕೀ ಜಯ ನಾಮಾಚಾರ್ಯ ಶ್ರೀ ಹರಿದಾಸ್ ಠಾಕುರ್ ಕೀ ಜಯ ಪ್ರೇಮ ಸಿಂಗ್ ಹೋ ಶ್ರೀಕೃಷ್ಣ ಚೈತನ್ಯ ಪ್ರಭು ನಿತ್ಯನಂದ ಶಿರ್ವೈತ ಗದಾಧಾ ಶಿವಾಸರಿ ಗೋರ್ ಭಕ್ತವಿಂದ ಕೀ ಶ್ರೀ ಸಿದ್ಧಾರ್ಥ ಮರ್ಭಗೋವಿನ ಶ್ಯಾಮಕುಂದ ರಾಧಾ ಕಂದ ಗಿರಿ ಗೋವಿಂದಾನ ಕೀ ಜಯ ಶ್ರೀ ಬಿಂದಾಮ ಸಿಂಹ ಮಥುರ ಧಾಮ ಕೀ ಜಯ ನವರಿ ಮಾಯಪಧಾಮ ಕೀ ಜಯ ಶ್ರೀ ಜಗನ್ನಾಥ ಪುರಿ ಧಾಮ ಕೀ ಜಯ ಗಂಗಮಾಯಿ ಚಮುನಮಾಯಿ ಕೀ ಜಯ ತೋಸಿ ದೇವಿ ಭಕ್ತಿ ದೇವಿ ಕೀ ಜಯ ಸಾಂಗ ವೈರ ಭಕ್ತವಿಂದ ಕೀ ಜಯ ಹರಿನಾಮ ಸಂಕೀರ್ತನ ಕೀ ಜಯ ಜಯ ನಿತಾಯ ಗೋ ಪ್ರೇಮನಂದೇ ಓ ಗ್ಲೋರಿಯಸ್ ಟು ಡಿಸೆಂಬರ್ ಡಿವೋಟೀಸ್ ಗ್ಲೋರಿಯಸ್ ಟು ಡಿಸೆಂಬರ್ ಡಿವೋಟೀಸ್ ಗ್ಲೋರಿಯಸ್ ಟು ಡಿಸೆಂಬರ್ ಡಿವೋಟೀಸ್ ಓ ಗ್ಲೋರಿಯಸ್ ಟು ಶ್ರೀ ಶ್ರೀ ಗುರು ಗೌರಾಂಗ ಓ ಗ್ಲೋರಿಯಸ್ ಟು ಶುಭ ಭಾರ I guess in the reading from Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 7, Chapter 7, what Prahlad learned in the womb. Text number 50. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Devo Suro Manusyova Devo Suro Manusyova Yaksho Gandhava Evava Ajhan Mukunda Charanam Swasti Man Shatyata Vayam Swasti Man Shatyata ಚಿತಾಭಯಂ ದೇವೋ ಶೂರೋ ಮರುಶೋಭಾ ಯಕ್ಷೋ ಗಂಧಾವರೇ ಭವಾ Ajhanmakanda charanam Shastiman shadyatavayam Devoshuro manushova Yaksho gandhava evavam Ajhanmakanda charanam Swastiman syadyatavayam. Word for word, please repeat. Deva, a demigod. Asura, a demon. Manusha, a human being. Va, or Yakshaha, a yaksha, a member of a demoniac species. Gandharva, a Gandharva. Eva, indeed. Va, or Vajan, rendering service. Mukunda Charanam, to the lotus feet of Mukunda, Lord Krishna, who can give liberation. Shvastiman, full of auspiciousness. Syat, becomes. Yatha, just as. Vayam, we, Prahlad Maharaj. Translation, if a demigod, demon, human being, yaksha, gandhava, or anyone within this universe renders service to the lotus feet of Mukunda, who can deliver liberation, he is actually situated in the most auspicious condition of life, exactly like us. The Mahajans, headed by Prahlad Maharaj. Please repeat. If a demigod, demon, human being, yaksha, gandharva, or anyone within this universe renders service to the lotus feet of Mukunda, who can deliver liberation, he is actually situated in the most auspicious condition of life, exactly like us. brackets, the Mahajans headed by Prahlad Maharaj. Purport by Svangai Sesi Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada. Prahlad Maharaj, by his living example, requested his friends to engage in devotional service. Whether in demigod society, asura society, human society, or Gandharva society, every living entity should take shelter of the lotus feet of Mukunda and thus become perfect in good fortune. End of purport. Anyone here giving class tomorrow? Because he told me I was going to speak on the next verse or so, but maybe not. Omaganan tenaham dasya ganan ganan salakaya chakshur mitam tasmai shri gurave namaha. Namo Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prasaya Bhutare Simati Bhakti Vedanta Swamin Iti Namane Namaste Saraswati Devi Gauravani Pracharine Nevisesha Shannavari Pashtar Sasarine Jaya Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Garadhar Sivasari Gaur Bhakta Vinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama 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 Hare Hare. Translation. If a demigod, demon, human being, yaksha, gandharva, or anyone within this universe renders service to the lotus feet of Mukunda, who can deliver liberation, he's actually situated in the most auspicious condition of life, exactly like us, the Mahajans, headed by Prahlad. Prahlad Mahajan ki jay. Here Prahlad, his given his usual direct words of wisdom and realization to his school friends. He's telling what he learned in the womb. He was preaching to them before. They asked, how do you know all these things? And he told them of his previous to his birth, prior to his birth, how he heard this. His mother was kidnapped and Narada rescued her, took her to the ashram, and he was preaching to her. You know, at least he was, and Prahlad was hearing these all this knowledge even while in the womb. And but he told his friends, you can also be like us. If you take to the devotional service of the Lord, you can also be like us. It doesn't matter what your material situation is, because Krishna consciousness is enacted on the spiritual platform. There can't be any material impediment to Krishna consciousness. In other words, you don't need to adjust the environment that you're in to execute Krishna consciousness. That is what Prahlad is saying here. He was telling his friends before that if you believe me, what I say, if you hear what I say with faith, you can also have the same realizations. Because, after all, Prahlad had faith in the words of Narada Muni, and of course, by the blessings of Narada Muni, he said, by his blessings, by his grace, everything actually depends on grace. Krishna consciousness depends on grace. We're here by grace because we somehow a devotee intervened in our life, right? That's probably why we're all sitting here today, because somehow or other a devotee intervened with our life, either directly or indirectly. Whether somebody left a book in a place and you picked it up, or a relative or your parents were devotees, or someone preached to you, but this is the way we came to Krishna consciousness, by the mercy of Krishna in the form of his devotees. The devotee is considered Krishna's Kripa Shakti, he puts it in their care. He puts devotional service in the hands of his devotees to distribute. So that's our own experience. And that's what Prahlad told his friends, you can have the same, you can be like us also. If you have faith in my words, then you can also understand. All you need is a faith in what I'm saying. In other words, Prahlad is offering them mercy, that you simply have faith in my words and I will bless you. In effect, that's what he's actually saying. If you have faith in me, faith in my words, then you can get the same result, the same understanding. Just like he got by the blessings of Narada Muni. So he's about to bless his friends if they have faith with that understanding. But that's our system, that is the bottom line in our philosophy. That the mercy of the devotee will install or reawaken in us the dormant relationship with Krishna. That's his prerogative. Krishna made it like that. Anyway, Prahlad was telling him all those amazing things about, you know, the difference between the soul and the body. I gave him various examples how to understand this, given different analogies, how to understand this. He's talking about we should remember and glorify directly the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Immediately he comes to the point. He gets right to the bones, as they say. Prahlad Maharaj, he doesn't cut words. He doesn't mince words. He speaks very directly. He's situated on that absolute platform of having accepted the shelter of Krishna, understanding that Krishna is his only protector, and taken that shelter, voluntarily accepted that shelter of Krishna. Therefore he's fearless. He's fearless in front of his father, the greatest demon, who everyone else is afraid of. So this is remarkable. That means he was excelling the devas even in his devotion to Krishna, his surrender to Krishna. And so he was asking them to just engage in service to Krishna, from whatever situation they're sitting in. And the process is not difficult. One now in our conditional life, he's speaking to demons, sons of demons. So they're very materialistic. They're having a materialistic education, although it's a gurukul, but also they're stressing mainly the artha karma and moksha generally, the four perfections of life along with dharma. But they're interested, the demons are generally interested in control. They're afflicted by that little tamagun there, that they'll follow they're civilized, right? they're counted higher than the human beings, right? The asuras, the gandhavas, all that, they have more potency than the human beings. But they have this great self-interest, that, you know, they actually want to enjoy the somehow or other anyway. So they'll follow some rules. They worship the demigods till they get into strong enough. Then they'll take over their position. So the mentality, they're intelligent, but this intelligence is misused, because there's an opportunity, they'll actually take over the position. But they're intelligent enough to understand that the artha, or the facility, opportunity, comes from dharma. it comes from following the, there's a scientific process in this world of consciousness and together with activities is a scientific blend that produces results. This world is action and reaction, as we know. So everything you do, everything you think, every endeavor or desire that there's some reaction. Every endeavor that you make, however much you put into that endeavor, you get a result for that. You must get a result for it. So spiritually or material, it's the same thing. Except for the devotees, even the spiritualist or the so-called transcendentalist, they also their goal is spiritual emancipation or liberation, but they're still using that process for their own aggrandizement. They want to enjoy the freedom of liberation or the amount of control that they can assert when they attain these incredible powers by these spiritual practices, dharmic practices. So they still have there's still the self-interest there in relation relative to that is the attitude of Prahlad, who has no actual self-interest. He's because he's satisfied. He's got his peace and security by taking shelter of Krishna. So he doesn't have to look for it. He doesn't have to try to to manipulate the world or the material energy or people to assert and enjoy that sense of control or lack of fear. This is why we want, this is what we're looking for in the material consciousness, that we want that, because the material world is very troublesome, let's face it. There's always some clashes. There's always some problem we have to address. So they want to address it in a big way so that they can they want to do away with all the problems, just like the materialists, our people who are leading society today, that's their goal. They want to remove all the problems of life. And that's what they're teaching, and that's what the scientists are promising. In the future, we'll achieve this trouble-free life, and then everyone can be happy. Now you can really enjoy them, because you have no problems to address, which is addressing problems takes up most of our life. Eating, sleeping, defending, that takes up most of one's life. And the rest, the free time that we have, the prime time, that is actually meant for enjoyment. We want to enjoy that free time. But it's very less time that we get out of that, because most of the time is spent in defending or trying to control our situation so that we don't have these worries, we don't have these anxieties and fears. We want to be fearless. This is a natural situation, because the soul by nature is fearless and the situation is fearless. Satchitananda is fearless. Sat is fearless. So the living entity, as Prabhupada mentions one time in flowery words, is always seeking that freedom. He wants to go into the free light and enjoy freedom there, because that's the actual birthright. So that's what we're looking for in the material world, that freedom from their clashes. But no one's looking for freedom from the material world, because they don't know that there's actual an alternative to the material life. So they just want material life minus the problems. This is what the modern things and the demons also doing, either here or in the higher planets. But that's their concern. So in contrast, the devotee, like Prahlad, is saying that you don't worry about those things. He said that they don't. It doesn't work. try to understand. He said, this, all that endeavor you put in, you get a reaction back for sure. But he said, your endeavor for happiness invariably has the opposite effect. Huh? Because we're acting, actually, most of the time we're acting for freedom, to control the environment, to improve our situation. And as a result of those activities, with that karma, then we get the reaction. Then we take birth again. So it hasn't solved the problem, it just aggravates the problem, it just keeps one in the material world, because there is no material solution to the material problems of life. But as long as one is focusing on the material energy and trying to rearrange it for our comfort, then this is the game of Maya. This is samsara. That's all that goes on in the material world. And Pallas says also to them, early on in his chapter, he said, actually your problems begin as soon as you make a program for happiness, which is very revolutionary, telling everyone in the world, your problem is you're making a program for happiness. That's when your problems begin. Because of the, as I mentioned before, because we have a program to remove the problems or achieve some desired object, but within that time and space that we're conditioned by, then there's all these adhyatmic, adhidevic, adhibhautic, birth, death, old age, disease, happiness, distress, fear, lamentation, all those things we have to encounter as part of the material package. So, but we don't want them. But we're only considering the goal, so we're quite happy doing that. You know, we're quite happy suffering, we're quite happy going to work every day and working hard. We're quite happy doing it, actually. Because we're thinking, this is what I get from it, it's worth it. I'm paying my insurance. I don't like to give money away, but I will get the premium at the end, so then I will enjoy more. It's something like that. But nobody likes to work. But we'll do it because we're hoping at the end we'll get the result. Then we can really enjoy that. So then the work becomes okay. It's okay. And besides, what's the alternative? If you want to fulfill your desire, you have to act. You have to endeavor. So this is the wonderful way that Krishna has created this Maya. You have to work. We have those two desires. They're instinctive in the living entity, the desire for security, because that's our sat nature. We're looking for that eternal nature. Sat. And we're looking for happiness. That's the aspect of Haralini, or the Ananda, which is there, unmanifest. But it still is there. So we're never feeling completely satisfied in the material world. We're always feeling a lacking. That's why we're making these programs, we're endeavoring. But it doesn't actually work, right? In our experience, it hasn't worked. In our lifetime, it hasn't worked. In history, it hasn't actually worked. No one's been successful at the end of life. So I'm so happy now to die. I've achieved, I did everything I want, I got everything I want. And I really live life to the... Generally, you may hear, maybe someone's a little strange and they'll say that, but nobody says that. They're all fearful, they don't want to leave the body, they're suffering, and everything's been taken away from them, all their ability has been taken away, and they're fearful. It's actually a fearful situation. So all the dreams end in disappointment. And then, and because you're unfulfilled, you die unfulfilled, then Krishna gives you another opportunity, puts you in another body, and then you hear, now you can fulfill your desires. Now you can become fulfilled in this body. You couldn't do it last time, but you can do it this time, right? So then he covers this with this false ego. Take this. You can do it. You can do it. You just got to, play your cards right. You can do it. You can do it. So this is how we're motivated in material life to keep on endeavoring, keep on working. But it actually doesn't work. The end result is opposite than what we want. Right? Temporarily, you may get something. Temporarily, there's a cessation. Temporarily, you're in a comfortable situation. Temporarily, there's some sense of enjoyment. But how long does it last? Really? But how much you put in and how much you get back, the material endeavor is not really worth it. So, Prahlad says, he said, the moment you stop this endeavor for happiness, he said, then you're peaceful. The moment you stop, then you're peaceful. But why should you stop? How can you stop? How can you stop this endeavor? Because that need is there. There's a lacking in us that chit and ananda is not there. We're not experiencing it. That's our very self. That's our instinctive nature. So we can't deny that. And that is what is compelling us to act, to become fulfilled in life. But Prahlad is pointing out, it's not here, it's not in the material energy. You can't adjust this material, you have nothing to do with the material energy. The soul is different from the body and anything else in the material world. So this is how the jnanas and the shankhyas, they analyze the whole material components. And neti neti, I'm not this, not this, I'm not this, I'm not this, I'm not this. And then what are you? You go through the whole, everything you can see and perceive, you go through the whole list of names which makes up this world. When you've exhausted all your dictionaries, you understand, I have nothing to do with this. Then the question is, what am I? So then your spiritual quest really starts, and then there's the purpose of the human life to ask, you know, what am I? What is going on? What is the meaning of existence? So Prahlad is giving him all these amazing knowledge. And he says, but the real thing is, you know, we're actually the eternal servant of Krishna. He's the action enjoyer, he's the controller. So when we appreciate that, when we recognize that fact that actually it's that the whole creation is about his enjoyment. The whole creation is about his satisfaction. I'm talking about all of the creation, not just this small material creation. But that's what's going on. In the spiritual world, you see, it's all about his satisfaction. Rama's satisfaction, Krishna's satisfaction, Vishnu's satisfaction. That's the ambience there. Everyone is working for his satisfaction, acting for his pleasure, assisting him in his pleasure. So that's the actual ultimate happiness and the ultimate peace. Krishna is a reservoir of pleasure. So when you're connected with a reservoir of pleasure, then you've got more than you can handle, more pleasure than you can ever handle. So you're just going to connect with it. And he is actually the ashraya vigraha. He is the shelter of everything. Everything. I mean, the whole universe. And what to speak of us? He's just coming out of one of his pores. He's definitely our shelter. So then you can... he's a refuge of everything. So when we recognize that, he's our refuge also. There's nothing that he's not the refuge of, because he's the creator and the sustainer of it all. And when he decides, then it goes back into, changes state and goes into another state. Every breath, half a breath. So that's what kind of shelter he offers. So naturally when one takes shelter of Krishna, then that's the greatest shelter. One feels completely satisfied and peaceful. Prahlad's directly talking to his father, the biggest demon in the universe, who the demigods are quivering, the big demigods. He's got them doing his personal service, bringing him pan and doing the odd jobs around him. He's got them all there. And they're scared. And he looks at them like, then if they're a little inattentive or not quick enough, or when he calls them, they're fearful, because they know he's a dangerous guy. He's angry and he's violent. They're really scared. Prahlad just talks right back to his face. How is it possible? You're a fool. Best of the Asuras. Actually, you're a fool. And supporting his enemy. Father's furious, but Prahlad is not fazed. So how is that? Because he's actually taken shelter of Krishna. not only Shaudra, he's actually seeing Krishna, right? Pallava was actually seeing Krishna, Vishnu, or Krishna, in the pillar. He was actually seeing him. So obviously his wasn't just faith on his, it wasn't just faith on his account. he was directly seeing the Lord, so obviously he had no fear. The Lord appeared in his vision just to make him, assure him that you don't have any fear. But here today, Prahlad is saying it doesn't matter what species you're born in. Anyone can take to the devotee as long as you're a human being or above. It means the yakshas, demons, gandharvas, etc. Those who have sufficient more intelligence, those species that have more intelligence, means above the animals. Then that's not the criteria. The opportunity is there to serve Krishna. And that will be explained in the next verses, that is how all these other perfections, qualifications, they're not really for the Lord's satisfaction. They don't really bring the Lord's satisfaction. It's what does the Lord want from us? Let's think about it. What does he want from us? What can we give him? What do we have? Everything is his. It's his body. Earth, water, fire, air. It's his mind. It's his intelligence. It's his ether. Right? It's his sky. And we're an expansion of him, of his Tatastha Shakti. What can we give him? How can we please him? But there is, you can please him, and that is the purpose of our existence. Krishna has expanded into you for pleasure, for lila. Lila means pleasure. So he wants to have some relationship with you. And because he's God, he does it on a grand scale. Billions and billions of friends. Billions. We're happy when we go to a nice crowd of friends. Krishna has billions and billions and billions and billions and billions of friends, all serving him in different capacities. Therefore, you have a variety of spiritual planets, because according to the variety of mentalities of from Vaikuntha to Golok Vrindavan, you have the whole range of different mentalities of hovers of his devotees. How are they going to serve him? So Krishna expands to facilitate their mood. Your particular mood, Krishna can fit that mood in a particular expansion or a particular way. So that's what he enjoys doing. We probably wouldn't think of something like that if we were God. That's why we're not Krishna. But that's how he... That's brilliant, actually brilliant. Right? You want to enjoy it, this is how to enjoy it, unlimitedly. So expand yourself unlimitedly and give them a separate identity and experience that love, their love for you, and you can love them in reciprocation. That's brilliant. That's what he does. So that is the actual purpose of our existence. There's no other meaning to existence. In other words, maya means that which is not. So the whole material endeavor has no factual meaning. What does it mean? What is it at the end of life for a materialist? What has he gained? He's gained some karma from his pious activities and his impious activities, which he's going to experience in his next body. That's all. Everything else is gone. The memory will be there for some time until that goes away. But what did he actually gain? What was the actual purpose of it? No meaning. He'll come back and get the experience of results, and in that endeavor, while he's here, experiencing those results, good and bad results, he's also making more programs. He's trying to avoid the problems and trying to get into a good situation, which is in turn creating more karma, which he's going to experience in his next life. So this is the samsara. What is actually gained? Nothing there. It has no meaning. Actually, from the spiritual perspective, it has no meaning. So like your previous birth has no meaning. You're the result of your previous birth. But as far as we're concerned, our previous birth has no meaning whatsoever. We don't know anything about it. We couldn't care less about it, right? So it has no meaning. But there was, don't think there was, you know, so much attachments and so much love and hate and all those things, just like in this life. It was the same thing before. And if we take another one, it'll be a repeat performance. So what is the actual meaning of it? When you're in it, it has a full meaning. It's everything. It means everything. Right now, this life, this moment, means everything to us. But last life, we don't care if it's not important at all. And in our next life, this moment is not important at all. This life is not important at all. This circle that we're moving in, these programs, these relationships, they're not important at all. You can't even remember them. So that's samsara. But when you're locked into it, it's very important. It's your whole world. But when you're out of it, then it's just like a dream. You're waking up from, oh, it's only a dream. So you don't pay any more attention. So that is the... So there's no solution materially to try to adjust. You can't adjust the material situation to for your actual satisfaction and happiness. So, but the mercy part of it is no one is actually barred from becoming free. No one is actually barred from taking the devotional service and becoming free from samsara. That's open to everyone. Krishna's very liberal. You just have to engage in hearing and chanting about him and associate him with devotees, and that will do the trick. As long as you're sincere, that from that will come, you'll lose all those bad qualities, all that ignorance will go away, all those anarthas will go away, becoming purified. The tama, raja tama will be, that is a side effect of this service to Krishna. And then eventually he will, when he's pleased, then he can reveal your program of actual freedom and happiness. It's by taking us out of the material world back into the spiritual world. So that's for everyone. No one is barred. It's not a question of becoming purified. That'll be explained in the next verse, which I thought was today. But you know, you're not dependent on purification, not dependent on tapa. It doesn't depend on your knowledge. There, in fact, if you don't actually awaken your relationship with Krishna consciousness, with Krishna, then it's all more or less a waste of time, even though it was dharmic, religious. So that's the whole point. The whole point was to. The whole point of Dharma, etc., is to bring us to the point of surrender to Krishna. So if it doesn't do that, if it doesn't awaken an attachment for Krishna, then what's the use of it? Even though it's religious, dharmic. So as Srila Prabhupada said, they may be helpful in the beginning, but eventually they have to be given up. If it's not conducive to remembering Krishna, then what is the use of it? Because that's what we are. We're the servant of Krishna. And anything which is not conducive to being a servant of Krishna is called maya, illusion. It means there will be a illusory result. But whoever it is, they can take, whether you're in Raja, Tama or Sattva, you can take the devotional service. Krishna says, many people in the past, they attained my supreme abode. Stri, Vaishya, Sudra, which means ignorance. Sudra, Vaishya, mode of passion, women mixed. So he said, but they can all come back to me. They can all attain my divine abode. So it's not a question of, the program is not about becoming purified or becoming a perfect, you know, brahmana, etc. Because that's the criteria is your service to Krishna. The other programs are just to get you out of the modes of nature, the other religious programs, but as Krishna says, actually the Vedas, by the Vedas I am to be known, that is the actual purpose of the Vedas, is to elevate one, but mainly it's to, just to elevate one from passion and ignorance, that your consciousness becomes a little clear, your intelligence becomes a little clear, then you can understand, I'm a servant of Krishna, I'm a servant to Krishna. Otherwise they have no use by themselves, they're not considered in devotion, it's all about me and my relationship with the material energy and how am I going to get purified this contamination of material energy. It's nothing to do with serving Krishna. But the path of bhakti is directly, we serve Krishna directly. We don't wait for purification, we don't take on a separate endeavor for purification. That purification is a byproduct of bhakti. So this is what he's saying, anyone can take to it. It doesn't matter about their qualifications. In Shivas Thakur's house there was one, Mahaprabhu said only devotees can come in night time, and they were having these nocturnal kirtans. But there was one very pious brahmana who befriended Srivas Thakur, and every day he would beg at his feet, please let me see the kirtan, please let me see Mahaprabhu's dancing. We heard about it, but he said, I can't. I said, only the devotees can come in. But he was very persistent. Please, I won't. He doesn't have to know. And so then he finally agreed. He said, but don't let him see you. You hide in the other room and you can peep through the keyhole or something. So when the Brahmin saw him, Mahaprabhu was dancing after a little while. When the kirtan began, then Mahaprabhu began his ecstatic dancing. And the Brahmana was actually perceiving that. He became ecstatic just by watching that. But Mahaprabhu noticed that something, the atmosphere wasn't right. So he asked Shiva, is any non-devotees here? So Shiva started to tremble. No, ma'am, Prabhu, there's no demons here. He says, Shivas, actually there's one very, very pious brahmana. He's very good. He only drinks milk and eats fruit. He's very, very pious. I know him, very pure. Mahaprabhu was very angry. Get him out, immediately. Get him out of here. We don't want no milk drinkers here. He said, if you can drink milk and go back, or you just eat fruit and go back to Godhead, then they won't do that. That's not the process. He said, to see my dancing, you need devotion. Get him out of here. He's so angry. But of course, then the Brahma had already seen Mahaprabhu. He got that special privilege of seeing Mahaprabhu, became ecstatic. And he was thinking, he was got his tail between his legs, but he was really happy. And he was thinking, I'm so fortunate. I saw Mahaprabhu's dancing. It was fantastic. His heart was so much love for Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Then, of course, Mahaprabhu understanding. Hey, Brahmana, come back. And put his feet on his head. So then he was allowed to stay. But the point was, it's not by, let everyone drink milk and go back to Godhead. That's not the program. It's by devotion. So all these other religious processes, they may be helpful in the beginning, Prabhupada said, for controlling the senses, etc. So we can focus. They may be helpful like that. Well, once one comes to devotional service, there's no need of these extra things. So Pallad is saying, it doesn't matter, that you're born in the family of demons. You can take to devotional service. It's not a bar. It's not that you have to stick to your, This is something transcendental. This is actual Sanatana Dharma. It's not that, this is my Dharma, my Swadharma. This is my religious principles in this lifetime. I have to stick to it. And then, so that's a problem. That's where the confusion comes in. People think that they have to, act according to their particular caste. And because it's mentioned like that, Krishna says, follow the system. Act in Varnashram. But serve me, do it for me. No, there's not a problem there. But the principle is to serve me through your duties, perform your duties, and do it in consciousness of me. So there's not a problem. You just connect it with Krishna, then it's okay. But if it's just on the rule itself, which many people get stuck there, just on the rule itself, then it's not pleasing to Krishna, because it's all about me. I'm adhering to the rule. I will get purification and I will get whatever I want from it. It's my self-interest. There's no actual devotion to Krishna. So what's the meaning of existence without devotion to Krishna? That's not what we're created for. The soul's existence is devotion to Krishna. Jivesu apoyanita Krishna das. The soul's propensity, the soul's purpose is to love Krishna. Our purpose is to love Krishna, to bring him pleasure. That's what he's created us for. Now we've forgotten that. We ended up in the material world somehow or other. But the processes for reviving that is the same. You once engage in loving devotional service. And if there's no love or no affection, you just engage in the service. And that service will purify you of Raja Tama. Then you come to Sattva. then you gradually come to Sudha Sattva. Then the Krishna will reveal himself more. As we actually follow the path of surrender, then we will become attracted to him, because he is all attractive. So it's just the same procedure as what we originally intended to do. Whereas all these other procedures, Astanga Yoga, Karma Yoga, Hatha Yoga, or Jnana Yoga, they're all separate. They're all about my purification. They're all about purification of the soul. It's not about devotion to Krishna. But it's recommended because it's a better situation. And because we think we're the doers, then we, you know, you want to purify yourself, okay, you follow this path. But if we actually attain the goal, we attain the purification, then Krishna says that's great. After many, many births, you become self-realized. After many births of being a Jnani, Krishna says, "I understand." Vasudev Sarvamit. Then he surrenders to me. But that's a very, very long process. And in Kali Yuga, it's not viable to become self-realized in Kali Yuga by Gyan Yoga or Karma. It's not on the table anymore. It doesn't work. So really, there's only one. That's why Krishna comes as Chaitanya Mahaprabhu to give this Sankirtan movement, which anyone can take part in. It doesn't depend on qualification or ability or learning. It's the same thing, again, one has faith in Mahaprabhu. And there's a variety of activities that you can perform. It's not selective. Anyone with, and according to your nature, you can engage that nature in the service of Krishna. And live your life, enjoy what you're doing, because you know, you're doing things you like to do, but you can do it as an offering to Krishna. So that's open for everyone. So that's Krishna's kindness. That's what Prahlad is saying here. You should take to this. Otherwise the result is you're gonna take birth again and remain unfulfilled again and again and again. So that's Prahlad here is our speaking very directly. He said, you can be like us. Prahlad, he knows where he's at. He's a Mahajan. He said, you can be like us, the Mahajans, free from this. We're taking shelter of Krishna. They know what they're talking about. They don't have fear. They don't have fear of them. There's no anxiety there of the future. Not for their future. Maybe on a higher level, like then you see in Vrindavan, the devotees will become fearful for Krishna's safety. Is happiness, but that's on another transcendental level, or on a more transcendental, Krishna would become fearful of his mother when he sees she's got a stick. That's even more transcendental. That's beyond the normal transcendental understanding that all those, the person that we're seeking after, and the rishis and the sages are seeking after, he's very elusive. We can't approach him. But the same person, he's running away from Mother Yasoda. That's the difference. Out of fear. We have no scope to try to approach him, but with Mother Yasoda, when he sees that stick, then she's chasing him to chastise him. We're trying to get his attention, but he's very elusive. But his mother's trying to going to chastise him, and he's running in fear of her. That's the difference in levels of devotion there. But still, it's open to whatever level we can we can engage in these in the nine poses of devotional service, which Prahlad is recommended. That's all, and from that, it's something practical that we can do now in any condition of life. One of these, or all of these nine aspects of devotion. And that will do the trick. That will purify us and gradually rise, purify our consciousness. And then we can actually do the service with affection for Krishna, which is the perfection. Because that's what Krishna's really interested in. This taste, this affection, that's really what he is. So these activities are just a medium to express affection. These pastimes are mediums to express affection. That's Krishna's. That's what he wants. That's how we can please him the best. When the service is done with affection, then that's proper. That's your natural constitution. That is the perfection in Krishna consciousness. Jai Srimad Bhagavatam ki, Srila Prabhupada ki je, Sri Prahlad Mahajan ki je. I go from the comment, question? Ah, I should go back to the key.